Welcome to the Thursday Arts Preview, where the P is parenthetical. I'm your host, EJ Iannelli. Later in this episode, we'll hear from Zanna Morrow, the Arts and Culture Coordinator at KSPS. We'll talk to her about KSPS's popular Inland Sessions music series and how our regional PBS station is channeling its resources to provide a platform for the local music scene. This week, we start by talking to the poet Lori Klein. Her new book, titled House of 49 Doors, Entries in a Life, is an autobiographical poetry collection in which she takes on different personas and examines her childhood as her past and present selves. As the title suggests, these poems are also an ode to the location where many of these events took place, a 49-door home called Fowler House. That house was much more than a structure, which is why it also gives structure to this collection. So when Lori came into the studio, I asked her why she chose to proceed through these poems room by room.
I wanted to usher the reader-listener into a place that lives in my mind as so spacious. And it made sense to me to organize the various stories, because there's a couple threads running through, by something really physical you could count on. And when I would go to a place in my memory that was in the actual house, a story would immediately rise up. So that as well, what it was triggering in me, things that I hadn't thought about for 60 years. And to find that wealth still intact, and to find the voice of my younger self still viable. She's been pretty silenced along the way. And all of a sudden, being in a certain space in the house connected to memory released that voice. And it was such a delight to find her after all these years.
And was it recalling the house that prompted you writing this poetic memoir or memoir as told through poem?
I would have to say that I was in a place of having been through a pretty serious illness and then the pandemic right afterwards, and being so aware of the fabric of civil discourse shredding. And I never wanted to write another book after my first one. But my editor got in touch and said, I would be very pleased to see another manuscript from you. So I'm looking at this world in disarray, my own health having been compromised, the sheltering at home that we all did as a world, and thinking, I want to go back to the house I loved the best. And I had no intention of going as deep as I did.
And it's becoming more and more incumbent upon us to address these two personas of Kid Larkin and Elder Girl. But I don't want to leave this room topic just yet, because one of the things that struck me is that we're not dealing with living room or kitchen necessarily. There's clothes chute and stairwell and shotgun hall. So it's these very unconventional spaces.
And they were so magical as I remembered them. The shotgun hall has all those French doors in it. And it has the light that leaks, and it leaked the whole time I lived there. And yes, like the landing in between stories,
right.
That felt like such a metaphor for me. But I loved that space because two windows looked out on the backyard, which was full of all kinds of trees and a small lake. And nobody else stopped there but me and the dog. And it was just a magical in-between place, because there were a lot of sad things in my family.
And we have these two personas, and now is a good time to bring them in, of Kid Larkin and Elder Girl. Larkin in Irish is fierce. Mm-hmm. And it also has poetic ties as well.
Yes.
So we see maybe the budding poet
as
a child. And then Elder Girl, which has almost a heroic qualities to it. I think of Elder Girl, you know, in a cape maybe.
Yeah.
So what were you trying to evoke with these two names? And why was it important to you to create these two personas of past and present?
It became more evident to me as I went deeper into the story I didn't want to tell that I needed a more innocent look at it, therefore Kid Larkin. I was also aware that what Kid Larkin told herself about what some of those things meant that unfolded within that household affect who I am today as a 73-year-old woman who's still a girl, because I think we have access to all our ages. And putting one's house in order, which becomes more pressing as you're getting closer to what may be the end of your lifespan, I think it affords you more room to move around and say, what did I believe? How did that strike me? Do I believe that now? And if I don't, what am I going to do about it? And what if I lost from Kid Larkin that I want resurrected in me now? And part of it is just her sheer mischief and delight in oddball things.
And she was a spy.
She was a spy before Harriet came along. She was an eavesdropper. She had no voice. And that was a means, would we say, controlling the narrative? Mm-hmm. Somehow getting sneak peeks on the narrative within the family tree.
And there are a couple points where these two personas, past and present, are in dialogue with one another, you know, very, very overtly. So the poem about barbs, and there's another one that comes a little later. It's the psalm formerly known as Swim.
Yes.
And it kind of captures this quirkiness and this optimism of Kid Larkin. And then what struck me is in about barbs in particular, it was this disillusionment that crept in with Elder Girl.
And that was so interesting to do, to be true to each voice and to try to find the threads that were still sounding between the person at 11, 12, 13 and the person now. And to also be keeping the storyline of Uncle Dunkel, which is the main thread. When I worked on the poems, I had to color code them with little tabs to see where are the creatures speaking, where is the house speaking, where is Larkin, where is Elder Girl, where is the sort of omniscient narrator. So I could tell by looking at the colors, are we hearing each thread? Am I keeping all of that in motion?
And since you bring it up, Uncle Dunkel is a major presence in this. And the whole collection moves towards, I have to say, a very dark end. But this is also kind of a celebration to some extent of that relationship that you had with him. There's a real sense of eulogy here. So in addition to being a memoir where you do some personal excavation, there's also this tribute to the relationship that you had with Uncle Dunkel.
Good, good. Oh, I'm so glad that comes through. He was my hero.
And I don't want to rob some of these pieces of their poetry, but I'd like a little more detail on your relationship with Uncle Dunkel and what he meant to you and maybe some of the troubles that afflicted him.
Mm-hmm. He was tall and he was incredibly gentle. And he would come and have a tea party with me. I mean, he would fold up that 6-foot-plus frame and he would hold a little cup, you know, that was the size of my palm. And he would have tea parties with me. He would go on the swings with me. It seemed he would refuse me nothing. He was quiet. And there was a safety in that. There was a shelter, if you will, in that sense of he wanted to hear what I had to say, and I didn't always feel the grown-ups did. And I could be loud, and so I can understand that with hindsight. But he was one who would draw me out, and he seemed to believe in me, small as I was, and that felt rare and precious. It was only as I got older, and after he came back from fighting in Korea for 2 years, that the irregularities in his ability to manage life, maybe is how I would say it, started becoming a little bit noticeable to me. But I'm a kid. I don't know what to do about that, except I revel in his company. And he was diagnosed as paranoid schizophrenic. He did time in a sanatorium. I don't know if he underwent electric shock therapy. I know my father did. I don't know if my uncle did. But the sense of him being so removed in a place where he made something for me, a bad place, a healing place, which was it? A kid doesn't know. But he made me this box with the mosaic tiles on the top, cedar, so kind of like a miniature hope chest.
And can I just say that this cedar box makes an appearance in Downsizing 2023, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
There was a line in there that really resonated with me, and this was, "My uncle was made for grasping the measure of things, like a kid's hope on her big day." And so, yeah, pairing this, the weightiness of the adult world with the optimism and childlike innocence of Kid Larkin. Now, is there a poem that you think really kind of speaks to the many themes that are embodied in this or really encapsulates the collection?
I did come with one in mind, and I would love to read it if that's okay. And the reason I chose it is I think when you grow up in a house of secrets, it isn't safe to speak what you know, and you become increasingly aware that you want to be heard. And one way to be heard is to be a hearer of the stories of others. And so perhaps as I worked through some of this grief and anger that had been pushed down, I think it brought me to a place of really wanting to be, just as he listened to me and could take the measure of things, I want to be that kind of person. I would like to carry forward that essence of him. I'm going to say one more thing. The house is pivotal in the book, but so is the lake as a secondary character, the lessons of being on the water, in the water, beside the water. And so in this particular poem, you won't be hearing about the house as much as the premises. My sister and I joke that Fowler Lake runs in our veins. So here's the poem. There must be a way to listen, like a small body of water, reflective face, upturned, benign, an entity of acceptance. Water embraces the sunken, the near dying, as well as the thriving stir, like plants practicing grace as they lean on the current. Let me be a haven where shared sediments settle, where buoyancy reasserts itself, where you will beckon the weathered vessel and I will coax the reluctant tow, will soften the chipped margins of shells, cast-offs, the chronically stony. Encompassed, eased, the survivor rises the way a trout breaks from silence to surface. Old hooks and lines ingrown, jaws half trussed, wounds revealed by one seeking a witness. What was it the risen one said? Hark, flow, and do likewise.
Lori, I want to thank you so much for coming in today and talking about House of 49 Doors and sharing these poems with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was the writer Lori Klein talking about her new autobiographical poetry collection, House of 49 Doors, Entries in a Life. That collection is out this month through Cascade Books. And more about Lori and her writing can be found at her website, LoriKleinScribe.com. Lori is reading for us on this week's Poetry Moment with a series of poems that align with the theme Becoming Sound. You can listen to those readings by going to the Spokane Public Radio website at spokanepublicradio.org and clicking on the Poetry Moment tile. Now, let's turn from poetry to music. As the Arts and Culture Coordinator at our regional PBS station, KSPS, Zanna Morrow is responsible for booking their Inland Sessions, which became a vital platform for local musicians during COVID lockdowns. Since then, she's helped it to become a showcase of the variety of musical talent that our region has to offer. For Zanna, her desire to shine a spotlight on local music isn't anything new. For 15 years, she was the host of Homegrown Radio on KYRS. So I invited Zanna in to talk about the local music scene, starting with how she came to host her own radio show on that topic.
I ran a show called Homegrown Radio. And so Homegrown Radio was a brainchild between our program director at the time, who wanted a local music-focused show. And a friend told me about the opportunity, and I was just, you know, a band geek and a merch girl for all my friends' high school bands. And I loved the music and going to these little shows. And at the time when I was growing up in the late 90s, there was not all ages venues. There were two, maybe three in town, and they would usually only last, you know, 6 to 9 months, maybe a year. You know, a place like the Soda Factory, I think, was open a year. So it was hard for young people to find even locations that would let them play. So I had this big collection of local CDs of just bands from all over who were just, you know, would you buy my CD for $5? Did you like what you saw? And so I applied, and it was really kind of a big center part of my life for that 15 years. And as the show grew, as I grew with it and my archive of music and my knowledge of local music, what I found out that I loved was the history of music of the Pacific Northwest and how much of it is lost and forgotten, especially artists who only recorded sometimes two or three singles and that's it, but they were good. And also looking for and encouraging bands who are current bands to record so that they would have another platform, that there is another place for them to be heard, and to try and get them over that hump and the encouragement they needed to get themselves recorded and not just be a live performing band.
Yeah, but we do see that contiguous thread of local music advocacy, so dating back to your radio days mm-hmm. and then continuing into the glamorous television days.
I have to admit, working at PBS and my position specifically is my dream job. So I'm so lucky to be there. I love it. When I started watching Inland Sessions, because I'm a PBS fan and have been my whole life, so I saw those first few episodes and I'm like, how do I get that job? That's the job I want. I don't even know how I do that. And my job became open when the producers of the show decided that it is really hard. It is really hard to book back-to-back-to-back bands for these very tight production windows that we have for this big show that takes a lot of hands-on work.
And just out of curiosity, did any of the bands that you enjoyed or promoted or advocated for on your radio program, did any of those bands get invited to perform as part of Inland Sessions?
Some of them were in existence, and I was able to invite them. Having those relationships already being built and knowing, like, who shows up when they're called is part of the biggest and hardest difficult part of booking. And so when you find an artist who is a creative, who is a good talker, you already know they show up, you know that they come prepared, and you know that you love their music, I have a new platform that I can bring you to. So that's always so exciting. But I'm also very careful about, like, booking friends and people I know, and I want to make sure that I'm fair and judicious when it comes to inviting the entire community and that it's not a closed network of people who are in the know or people who know me.
And let's talk about some of these bands specifically that you've either had on relatively recently or that you've had on and really thought highly of. I know you had Heatspeak on not too long ago, and this is Dario Ray.
Mist in the faint, so I can come down. It's bottled up trees in a potion I found. I carry my weight in sound, as cold as it feels from the ground. The light on your cheek is a pink rosy mint. The last of the sunlight our fatherhood sent. And children of the sun repent. The fate of our shadows depends.
So talk to me about what you enjoy about Dario's music and why he was an early Inland Sessions participant and then was re-invited back.
That's a great question, because when he came, we were planning to bring on Heat Speak, and he wasn't able to do it because of COVID. And so this is where the music community, especially in Spokane, is strong and vibrant, but it is also pretty small. So I don't want to keep going back to the same people. And so I want to make sure that there is a large opportunity for everybody else to get in. But there's also people like Dario Ray, who is, he has his band as a solo artist. He has his band Heat Speak as a large ensemble. He also sometimes plays with Imagine Jazz. He sometimes plays with Bija. He plays with other people. And a lot of the musicians who are really accomplished technical musicians play in several bands. And I don't want this visual representation to be this person always coming back in the background, even though those people might play in 12 bands.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that it's you're not seeing too much of any one person is one issue. But because we had invited Heat Speak and they weren't able to come, we could only invite him, you know, season four. This was a perfect length of time to wait. And give him time of like, I want you to bring everybody you want to bring. I want you to bring the whole band. Tell us about all your new music and give us the update.
And then you have somebody like Dario Ray or Heat Speak and that style of music. And then you bring in somebody like No Soap Radio, which is a jazz funk marching band style,
yeah.
You know, sui generis type outfit. Talk about them.
Yeah, No Soap Radio. We just brought them in. They're a very new band. They just had their 2-year anniversary, but they're all very accomplished musicians that most of them met in either marching band or at U of I, the Lionel Hampton School of Jazz at U of I. And so they learned that they had a lot in common. And so when they came together and started composing together, they realized that their collaboration, there is no band leader. It is really a collaborative band. And they get funky, man. They've got a 4-piece saxophone front. And then behind that, they've also got guitar, drum kit, bass. So they're loud, they're funky, they're jammy, they're so much fun, really, really playful, very, very good band. So I don't know, they bring the party. They remind me of a band called March 4th Marching Band out of Portland, Oregon, who made a big splash a few years ago, and I think they either won or came in second place at America's Got Talent.
And then there's a band like The Walleye, and I don't know if this is a personal favorite of mm-hmm. yours, but yeah, what's your soft spot for The Walleye?
My soft spot for The Walleye is they're a band that I was introduced. I was doing my show on KYRS, and I get a call. I was doing a theme about songs about Spokane. You could recognize places. It was about here and about living here and about what living here is like. And I got a call like, I got a song for you. I think you should listen to this. So the song they recommended was The Walleye, a song called The Chinook.
Low gray river, you knew my father. And my father trusted you. Would you lay beside me now until all this is through? Low gray river, you knew my father. And my father trusted you. Would you lay beside me now until all this is through? One way or another. Thank you.
listened to it and it was immediate love. Absolutely. I still love that song so much. I began listening to their whole discography. Absolutely fell in love, but they're a band that is very hard to find because they don't play live very often. They play live maybe 2-3 times a year, usually unadvertised shows at their friends' houses. But their music is just really warm, loving, expansive, interesting, creative, and yet they're a real hidden gem in Spokane.
And, you know, has Inland Sessions, as it's grown, become kind of a centerpiece in KSPS's local programming? I think of programs like Northwest Profiles, mm-hmm. which is another program that really showcases all that the Northwest has to offer, and particularly the Inland Northwest. But Inland Sessions has really taken on a certain prominence. And so does it occupy that sort of pride of place in KSPS's local programming?
We're really, really proud of Inland Sessions, and a lot of hard work goes into it. It's definitely one of our main productions when it comes to our time, our energy, our investment, and our excitement about it, really. Northwest Profiles is another one, but because it's based on a smaller production group that makes it, it really is a producer finds a story that they really like, they get a cameraman to work with them, and they show up at your house and they learn about what you do. Where Inland Sessions is all hands on deck, the whole crew is there, the studio is lit, we've got it decked out for you, we've got all 12 cameras running, we've got our, you know, our director and our TD and some sound and a backup director and a producer coming with it, as well as all of our cameramen, our support staff, our PAs, our sound designers, our set designers. Everyone's into it and everyone knows how much fun it is. So that's also when we're getting like guests in the studio, because the studio is so active during Inland Sessions and everyone wants to come see some music.
And I want to pan out as we close, because I think you're going to have some good thoughts on this. Do you see Inland Sessions as being emblematic of your mission as a public broadcaster to really highlight the under-recognized and highlight the things that are taking place within the community?
Absolutely. The hyper-localism of Inland Sessions is very special because all the stories that we tell in general on Northwest Profiles and Inland Sessions are from our broadcast area. And our broadcast area we call the Inland Northwest. And it really is the Dalles of Oregon up through eastern Washington from the Cascades to the other side of the Rockies. So we do make it over to Missoula and then all the way up to the Arctic Circle. So we're the people who make sure that we keep even the very rural areas within our network served.
Well, Zana, I want to thank you so much for coming in today and walking us through the ins and outs of Inland Sessions, but also highlighting some bands, because I think it'll offer some good tips for listeners.
Oh, yeah. I could give you such a listening list, but maybe you could just go to our website and you can check them out and you can kind of hear them for yourself.
KSPS Arts and Culture Coordinator Zana Morrow there, talking about how the station is supporting the local music and arts scenes, including the popular Inland Sessions music series. To see videos from past performances of Inland Sessions, visit kSPS.org and look for Inland Sessions under Programs. This has been the Thursday Arts Preview, a show that keeps an eye on the past, present, and future of the art scene throughout the Inland Northwest. If you'd like to listen again, check out the Thursday Arts Preview podcast on major platforms like Spotify, TuneIn, and Apple Podcasts. For Spokane Public Radio, I've been your Thursday Arts Preview host, EJ Iannelli.